Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. It's the usual crew with you, Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. As we get into week number 7 of our picks here shortly, we'll recap how we did in week number 6 here in just a moment and get you started on the program. Thanks to Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for bringing you Who's Gonna Win each week. We'll come back and look at last week's picks after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we take a look back at week number 6 here in our picks. And we actually all fared pretty well in our picks. We didn't mix it up much last week, but Jim did get himself another game out there in front of the pack here. He went a perfect 8-0 last week with his picks. The rest of us were 7-1, so that gives Jim a two-game edge over Doug right now. Jim's at 35-13, Doug at 33-15, and then both Matt and myself are at 32-16 here on the season overall.
Is there an advanced class? Because this is kind of boring. I need a challenge.
Ooh, wow.
Wow. Man, it's getting a little... I guess we're getting towards the tail end here, but still kind of early for that kind of talk. Let's take a look here at how the games did play out for you last week. We all had Exira EHK winning a home game over Woodbine, and we were all correct there. 68-52, the final there in a shootout. So Spartans take that win. Also, we all had Audubon at home over Boyer Valley, and the Wheelers came through with a 69-14 win, a commanding effort there from them. Griswold went to overtime to beat Southeast Warren 28-20. We all had the Tigers. We all eked one out there. HSDW, another dominant performance at home, 41-7 over IKM Manning. They win it. We all had the Vikings there, so we all get that one. And here's where we split it up a little bit. It was Clarinda getting a late field goal to knock off Red Oak. It was a 10-8 game forever, and then Clarinda gets a late field goal to win it. That was a winner for Doug and for Jim.
Hey, it's that common 11-10 final football score. I mean, you see that all the time.
All the time.
So common. So Clarinda gets the victory there over Red Oak. Also, it was South Central Calhoun, 26-16 over Kemper Catholic in a hard-fought game there. That was a winner for everybody but Doug. He went out on a limb on that one. And it was Harlan shutting out Carroll on the road, 40-0, the final there. We all had Harlan, that was correct. And Glenwood pulls out a 42-20 win over Atlantic. And it was a really good game. It came down towards the end of the last quarter, and the Rams get it done. We all picked Glenwood, so we were all correct there. So that's how week 6 went. We now move on to week number 7 here on our sheet. And we're going to start off in 8-man football. And this is our broadcast game here tonight as well. Exira EHK at home to take on Fremont Mills. And this has suddenly become a pretty important game in this district as well, in 8-man District 7. And our undefeated picker of last week, Jim, is going to get to...
Well, he wants the advanced class. Maybe the professor should just pick first every game all week.
The professor,
all the time.
Nice.
I mean, wow.
New nickname, the professor.
Wow. That's a lot of hostility in a small studio.
Hey, you started it.
Okay, well, let's see what we have here. I was just looking back of 8-man games so far this year that have been on the list. I've only lost once on an 8-man game so far this year. Well, here's my point. The time I lost, I picked Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton to win. That was when they played Sydney. I kind of like Fremont Mills here in this one. My inclination was to take Exira EHK at home. But Mason Venata is having a really good season, both throwing and running with football. I really think he's the difference. I just don't think Exira EHK has an individual on their team that can match the kind of output that he can for Fremont Mills. So I feel like I'm going a little bit out there this time because I think it might be a decent ball game. But I'm going to take Fremont Mills on the road here in this one.
All right, that's one for the Knights. Matt, what do you think?
Okay. Well, you know, this week might be one of those first weeks. The name of the game might be the weather. You know, yet to be determined here as it comes along. But is it going to be rainy, wet weather out there, or is it going to be the nice nights that we've had so far in the first 6 weeks? So, you know, that's going to be the one thing that's going to be a parameter out there. The one other thing I took a look at here is defense. You know, we're getting late in the season. Where do those defenses stand with six games behind them? Fremont Mills only allowed 21 points per game. Xyre Elkhorn-Kimmelton sits up there around just shy of 38 points per game. You know, Xyre Elkhorn-Kimmelton does a lot of their offense, running back by committee with Cole Burmeister, Cole Madsen in there. So I think they kind of spread it around, whereas, like Jim said, you know, Venata, Fremont Mills has a freshman, that's Seth Malcolm back there. He's put up quite a few yards rushing the ball. But I'm going to go with the road team on this one, Fremont Mills, because of the defense.
Okay, that's two for the Knights, and I'm going to go ahead and make it three as well. This is going to be an interesting game, and certainly with both teams sitting at 3-1 in the district, I think they know what's on the line here, and they have become pretty familiar with each other here these last two seasons, play a lot of games against each other, won the postseason last year that Fremont Mills got the better of them in. And yeah, Mason Venata has had time to grow up. He was counted on, I think, a little bit more than they expected as the season started because they had some injuries, but they've started to work guys back into the lineup that they knew they were going to kind of count on this year. Jagger Powers is back in the backfield, looking like he's probably, you know, back to full strength and healthy for them and is a really quick player. Josh Pettipier's done a nice job for Xyre EHK, too, though. He's been able to put up enough numbers through the air to kind of keep their balance on offense. So I think the Spartans are going to give the Knights some trouble, but I think Fremont Mills will eventually be able to come out on top in this one. Doug?
Yeah, you know, it's always tough to play against the Spartans at home. But, you know, I look at Fremont Mills' record. You know, they both have identical records, but Fremont Mills' two losses were to two very good teams in Stanton and Sydney, and they were close games. And so I just think they have a little bit too much firepower for the Spartans. I'm going to take the road team.
All right, we're all going with Fremont Mills there in our opening game. That's our only eight-man game on the sheet here this week. The next one we're going to go to is a matchup of teams that have struggled here this season. Martinsdale St. Mary's is on the road to take on Riverside in Class A District 7. And Matt, who can get something going here in this one? We're gonna do it. We're gonna make him.
Oh, no, I don't think that's fair. Okay, I'd feel bad winning.
Maybe when we get down a little closer to the end here,
I felt kind of dissed before. Now I kind of feel dissed again.
We'll keep him out there on a rope. Okay. Well, Martinsdale St. Mary's, they have yet to score in their four district games. They've got 0 points. But on the flip side of that, they've also played the four toughest teams that they're going to play all year. So, you know, two different schedules in there. This is a very tough one to pick just because I think of, you know, where are these teams at? Sometimes, again, late in the season like this, a team that may have potential to come out on top, you know, they've played this tough schedule. At the same time, it can also defeat them morally, you know. So it's going to be big for them to bounce back. With that said, I think I am still going to go with the road team. I'm going to go with Martinsdale St. Mary's on this one. I don't know. I might be out there by myself, but that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. So that's one for Martinsdale. Yeah, it's, you know, look at these two teams. It's they've definitely been a struggle to find the offense. Stephen Lynn's kind of been the workhorse for Martinsdale St. Mary's, 426 yards on the ground, a touchdown. And Riverside is gone as their quarterback is gone. Val Andrew Shishin has had a pretty good season when he's been in there, but he's been injured a little bit too, a little banged up. He got injured in that Griswold game, but he has been able to get back into the lineup. They've been able to win a couple of games at home, but I'm kind of with Matt here in this one. I actually think Martinsdale's played the tougher schedule. They've been maybe a little bit closer in a couple of games than maybe I had anticipated. So I'm going to go with Martinsdale St. Mary's here in this one as well. Doug.
Riverside.
All right. That's all you got?
That's all I got. I mean, I don't know. They've been able to put some points up, you know, and if they have a couple, they have twice as many wins as Martindale St. Mary.
That's true.
I mean, so, yeah, I'm going with them.
All right. Riverside. One for the home team.
Well, as Matt said earlier, Martindale St. Mary's hasn't scored a point in a month. I went to this advanced football class, and they told me that if you don't score, you can't win. So, you know, it was pretty enlightening. I'm going to take Riverside, too. That's a long drive, and I just think it's a long time here in this early part of the season to be not just beat, but beat down, not score. I mean, that's pretty tough hit on the psyche. I have to show up Monday morning to class. How'd you guys do Friday night? Well, we didn't. You know, it's kind of tough. So I'm going to take Riverside at home. That's a long drive, too.
All right, we split that one up.
I'll give you guys a chance to catch up a little
bit. There we go. Mm. We're back in the game. Mm.
Thank you.
All right, we've got some more games on the way here for you. We'll have another Class A District 7 game coming up after we take this break.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. As we continue on with our picks this week, we'll stay in Class A District 7, and I guess this would be the opposite side of the district here for you. Two teams coming into the game undefeated, Southwest Valley on the road at St. Albert, and obviously a district title you would think on the line here for these two teams. In this game, I get first crack here at this one. It's going to be an interesting matchup of quarterbacks. Chance Cobb has been a really good player for Southwest Valley. He does with both his legs and his arm. I think they'd like to get a lot of guys more involved than they have in the past. I think he was kind of the one-man show last year, but they have quite a few weapons. I got to see them against Griswold, and they do have some nice weapons out there. Kyle Barnes is having a good year through the air for St. Albert, and that gives them the chance, too, to put a guy named Waters in the backfield, and he's having a pretty good year on the ground as well. And, you know, St. Albert, that defense, you know, you talk about how tough they are. They've had eight takeaways here on the season, and the most that either of these two teams has allowed on the year so far has been 15 points, and that was Southwest Valley in a game earlier this year. So defense is going to be the name of the game, I think, a little bit. Southwest Valley's got impressive numbers, too. They've taken the ball away 16 times already this year. So if they're able to do some of that, they're going to have a chance. But I'm going with the home team. I just can't pick against St. Albert in a home game, big game like this. I think they'll be ready for it. Doug.
Hey, Chris, you mentioned the opportunistic defense for Southwest Valley. You know, that was something that stood out on their statistics. But, you know, when you really look at the schedules of these two teams and how they've both compiled their 6-0 records, you know, St. Albert has only allowed 20 points total all year long, and they've played Loma, Southeast Warren, who's a decent team, and Kemper. So, you know, they have shut out or really shut down a lot of very, very good teams. And you mentioned the combination of a quarterback and who's got 14 touchdowns and no interceptions in Barnes. And then Luke Waters is just a load to take down. You know, he's a powerful runner. So I'm going to take the Falcons.
All right. That's two for St. Albert. Jim?
Three. Yeah, the game might be 2-0. But I think St. Albert will win the game. I just don't – I mean, Southwest Valley's having a great season and very likely make the playoffs as the second team in that district. But I just don't think they're ready to go over there and win.
All right. Yeah, tough to win on the hill. Matt.
Yeah, I have – you know, this is a breakout season for Southwest Valley. But St. Albert defense is only allowed 3.3 points per game, three shutouts in there. Offensively, they've scored average 51.8 points per game. So I'm going to go with St. Albert at home.
All right, clean sweep for the Falcons in that battle of undefeated squads there. We'll move on now to Class 1A, District 7. And this is a matchup of a couple of teams that are kind of middle of the road here in the district, and they've kind of had up and down seasons so far. It's Tri-Center on the road at Trainer. And, Doug, you get first look here at this one.
Yeah, fairly similar records, 2-4 for Tri-Center and 3-3 for Trainer. But, you know, Tri-Center, if you look at their games they played and do some comparative score things, which I know you can't always count on, you know, they were had a fairly close game against Loma. I know Loma's not the team that has been all the time, but they're a decent team again this year. And then you look at Tri-Center, just demolished ACGC 41-0. Trainer really struggled to win their game 14-9 over ACGC. So, and then you have Ben Sorensen in the backfield for Tri-Center. He's been very effective running the ball. So I'm going to take the visiting team, the Tri-Center Trojans.
All right, that's one for Tri-Center. Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to make it two. I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago when they played ACGC, that I just don't think they – and it goes the same for Trainer. I don't think they have anybody to match up with Ben Sorensen. I think he's just the difference in the game, and I think Tri-Center wins.
All right, that's two there for the Trojans. Matt?
Okay. Each team very similar as far as offensive production as well. They're both going to do it on the ground. With that being said, I think they've also had a couple of different schedules in there to this point. I don't know. I think maybe you get Tri-Center. I'm going to give the edge to Tri-Center. Not much, but maybe just enough.
All right, that's three there for Tri-Center. Yeah, I kind of wrote down for Trainer. You know, it's they're Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, because you just don't quite know what team's going to show up each week. They played a really good game against Missouri Valley and then turn around and laid an absolute egg in the game that we called against AHSTW. So they're a really young team still. They were a bunch of freshmen last year. They're a bunch of sophomores this year, so I think they're still learning. Kyle Christensen's a good back for them. I can see how he's strong, but Ben Sorensen's a little bit stronger. He's having a stronger year for Tri-Center out of the backfield. And I've been impressed since that loss to Riverside. You've seen Tri-Center slowly get better. They've been more competitive in a lot of games that maybe you would have expected them to get blown out in. So I'm going to go with Tri-Center here as well. I think they've got just a bit of an edge on how they're playing here lately over Trainer. We make it a clean sweep in that one as well. We're going to stay in Class 1A District 7, and here's another game that is kind of an important one towards the top of the district, as AHSTW may face their last real strong test of the season as they go on the road to take on OABCIG. Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, what did AHSTW do to IKM Manning last week? Yeah. I second that motion. I didn't do any research on this game at all. I just wrote down AHSTW in big letters and circled it with stars around it and exclamation marks and underlined it and did everything. So, yeah, I'm taking the Vikings.
Art class is really paying off for you, isn't it?
It is. Art class and advanced football class.
Matt.
HSTW, again, going back to defense, only allowed 4 points per game. They've got four shutouts coming into tonight's games. And on the other side of the ball, for Odebold, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove in there, 80% of their offense runs through their running back, Devitt. He'll get the ball about 24 to 30 times a game. And teams have had a real tough time running against HSTW to begin with. So that's really about everything that OABCIG has. So definitely the Vikings on the road.
All right.
What was that running back's name?
Devitt.
Oh, okay.
That's his last name.
At first I misunderstood. I thought the accountant over here was saying Devitt. I was wondering if there was a credit on the other side. But I wasn't sure how that was going to equal out. But, okay, never mind.
With some equity, it would.
There's some large ATM fees coming from the Vikings side here tonight. This HSTW, just the way they're playing lately is just really impressive. I think they've hit a huge stride. You mentioned the defense, only 7 points allowed in the last five games. That's just really unheard of. R.J. Harris, Gabe Pauly, Gage Clay, that's about all you need to know on offense. They'll get it done. And, if the Vikings defense has one guy that they can focus on, you can feel pretty confident they're going to have some success there. So I'll take AHSTW as well. Doug?
I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm going to agree with you, learned gentlemen, and the professor.
School is in session.
I don't think you could rock a Viking's boat anyway.
It's just very stable.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
that's
this
why
season,
he's a professor.
Sure.
He picks up on that stuff. I tell you, he's so sharp. You're so lucky to be on the show.
I got my nap in before the show.
We're going to move out of Class 1A and into Class 3A here for our next game. And these are all 3A District 7 games again here for you in our last three picks. And the first one is Carroll going on the road to take on Denison Schleswig. Kind of an interesting matchup here. Matt, what do you think?
Yes, it is. Carroll coming in 2-4 overall, 1-3 in the district. Denison 4-2, 3-1 in the district. Similar numbers, you know, offensively, for the most part, in here. Carroll getting it done, 1,100 yards of rushing, and Denison just shy of 1,000 yards of rushing. So, but to this point, I think what each of these teams have really relied on has been their defense, because their numbers aren't really eye-popping. I think it's their defense that have actually done a lot of the damage. You know, Carroll really struggles to throw the ball, 38% completion rate. They've thrown 6 interceptions and no passing touchdowns. But what they do have is they have Higgins in the backfield, and he does a lot of damage running the ball for him. 91 carries. Moore's got 94 carries. That's their quarterback. So this is really going to be a tough game. I'm going to go with Carroll. Carroll might pull out the shocker on this one.
All right. Carroll might bring the swagger to town and pull off a shocker. This is an interesting game. I looked at this one a few different times, kind of wondering, well, who's going to be able to figure out what here? Because, you know, it could go, I think, one of two ways. They match up really interestingly because Carroll, like you mentioned, is going to keep the ball on the ground. They're going to run the ball. They're kind of a time possession type of team. That's how they've kept a lot of these games, I think, close this year that they've played in. They hang on to the ball and don't let the other offense have it. On the other side, though, Denison Schleswig, with the way that they play defense, you don't know kind of where they're coming from sometimes. If they know they can stack up that box and get a little funky with some blitzes coming at you, then maybe they'll have success slowing Carroll down pretty quickly. I don't know if they're able to go that way. It is concerning that Carroll can't really do anything through the air. That's definitely been a struggle. Flip a coin here? I don't know. I'm going to go with Denison Schleswig. I think Denison's got just a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball that can give them some options to try to win this game. I don't know. I'm going to go with Denison. Doug?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this one, too. I mean, Carroll, record-wise, is only 2-4, but they have had a pretty tough schedule, you know. And Denison, after we saw them, and then, you know, I think they handled Creston fairly well after that as well. But then they have they barely beat ADM last week. So I don't know what to think. I think they had some turnovers maybe or something. But I'm going to take the Monarchs at home, but I wouldn't be surprised if Carroll pulls the shocker.
All right. That's two going the Monarchs way. Jim?
Yeah, this game kind of tells you about everything you need to know, which is I have no idea. That makes sense. You know, I mean, Denison goes
you're
out.
The professor.
And, that's right. Denison goes out early in the season, and, you know, they look pretty good. They caught some breaks, made some things happen for themselves, but then they go out and they get obliterated by Glenwood and barely beat ADM. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that happen? Carroll, on the other hand, you know, some nights they, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah,
and other nights, you know, they come within a point of Glenwood, mm-hmm. and they lose to Winterset, who's, what, just one loss on the year. They lose to them by a field goal. You know, who can figure what? You know, Denison has a little edge, I think, because, you know, they have a Schleswig. Carroll's got to play by themselves. So, you know, that's not really fair. But I'm going to go with Matt. I'm taking Carroll on the road here in this one. I just don't think Denison's defense is strong enough. They might be quick, but I don't think they're strong enough to stop Carroll's ground game.
All right. They split that one up there down the middle. Yeah, and Doug, you mentioned that. They might have argument for one of the toughest schedules in the state this season. Just the way they started out, they had to play Bishop Heelan early in the year as well. They've had a tough run. They played most of the tough teams in the district so far. Moving on, we'll have a couple more picks here on the way for you in Class 3A District 7. We'll do that after we take this time out.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win as we continue on with our picks here this week, as we will take a look now here at 3A District 7 with, what's turned out now to be a game that's two teams at the top of the district right now. Harlan going on the road to take on Winterset. Harlan coming off that nice win last week. I guess I get first look at this one, don't I, this time around. So this is, Harlan was impressive last week, going to beat Carroll in the way that they did it, 40-0. You thought maybe that game could be a little bit of a struggle for a while, but they were impressive there. Nick Foss, if he's going, they're going to play good football, and that's what is kind of their engine this year. Winterset going to rely a little bit on the quarterback in Kleemeyer, and he's had 873 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They've been pretty efficient so far this year. They've had a really tough schedule, too. If you look at their schedule, they're probably the other team that has a good argument for playing some really tough competition so far this year. I still like the road team here. I think Harlan, the way that they're playing right now, it's going to be tough to knock them off that pedestal. So I'm going to go with the Cyclones. Doug.
Well, I was impressed with Winterset a couple weeks ago against Atlantic. They pitched a shutout, and they definitely were a tough ball club. Harlan, I think the strength of their team is their defense and obviously Foss, but I think they're particularly tough on the ground. Didn't think that Winterset threw the ball terribly well against Atlantic, and I think they relied a little bit more on their run game. I think that being Harlan's strength, I'm going to take the Cyclones.
That's two for Harlan. Jim.
Yeah, Harlan seemingly has done it with, three different quarterbacks? I think they could win with Mike Glennon at quarterback.
Four
quarterbacks now. Okay. So, yeah, I think they could win with Mike Glennon at quarterback. Even the Bears can't do that. I guess my question in this is, when do Winterset and Glenwood play? Because that'll be the showdown for the other playoff spot. I think Harlan, after this week, is going to almost lock one up. But I think Harlan will win this one. But I do look forward to that. That Glenwood-Winterset game should be a pretty interesting ball game. That should be for all the marbles.
All right, that's three here for the Cyclones in this one. Matt?
Yeah, I think Harlan, they get on the bus, and Coach Bly looks around, says, my defense here, and is Nick Foss on the bus, and he's good to go. Again, their defense has only given up 11 points per game, 6 games into this. You look at Winterset a couple games ago against Atlantic. They only put up about 240 yards of offense. The next week against Creston, 240 yards, and then last week, or they play Creston last week, so they put up well over 300 yards. I think last week that was Carroll a few weeks ago. And then they've lost Connor Van Pelt. He was their leading rusher. In that Atlantic game there towards the end, Mike, he broke his leg or something, so he's out for the remainder of the season. So I think it's taken him a couple of games to kind of get their identity back in there. So with that being said, I'm still going to go with Harlan. I think they're just too much for Winterset to handle. Winterset's kind of, they kind of snuck a few out, I think. I think Atlantic even matched up very well against them, just kind of a few breaks didn't go their way, so. Harlan on the road.
All right, that's Harlan across the board there in that one. We'll stay in the district, and we've got Atlantic coming back home to take on ADM here this week. And, Doug, you'll get first look here at this one.
Well, I wasn't able to get down to Glenwood, but I did listen to the game, and I was impressed by Atlantic's effort in that game. You know, they were down 28-7 and stormed right back, you know, and then had the opportunity to maybe even score the tying touchdown. You know, that was against a good Glenwood team. You know, they're salty. I saw the Glenwood Atlantic JV game on Monday, and if you I don't know how what their varsity looks like, but their JV was pretty big. So if those kids are playing JV, and there were a big number of them as well, you know, if that's their JV, I would imagine their varsity is pretty salty. So I was impressed by Atlantic showing there. You know, ADM is really a passing attack, 135 passing attempts this year. So they are going to sling the ball around. And, you know, again, as Matt referenced earlier in another game, you know, it depends on what the weather's like. I mean, if it's sloppy and rainy and windy and everything, maybe tough to get that air attack going. So I like the way Atlantic's playing this year, and I'm going to take the Trojans.
All right. It's one for the Trojans here at home. Jim.
Yeah, ADM's only win this year is a forfeit over Ballard. So, you know, congratulations. Atlantic, it just seems like Atlantic has kind of found themselves a little bit offensively. I just feel like what I've seen watching some of the video from the games and what I've heard from Chris and Mike telling me about it is that they seem more like they're game planning and play calling more to their strengths and not just against the other team's weaknesses all the time. You know, you can run scared or you can run confident, and it just seems like they're feeling a lot more confident about the way they are operating and the way they're scheming now, and I kind of like that. And yeah, they ADM does a lot of that dink and dunk side to side. Their run game is basically their short passing game, and that plays right into our strengths. We got a lot of quick, fast kids who like to hit in the backside. So yeah, I like Atlantic at home in this one. I think they should be feeling really good after this week.
All right, it's two for Atlantic, Matt.
I think I'm going to go with Atlantic as well. You know, last week ADM West is a quarterback, Michael West. He's throwing the ball, but he's only completing about 46% of his passes on the season. 8 interceptions, 4 touchdowns. Last week he had 129 yards of offense, and you know, it was a close game. He had 129 yards of passing and 90 yards of rushing. He had their entire offense except for 1 yard. And he's their leading rusher on the season with 153 yards. So they really have kind of struggled to move the ball. They just like to spread you out from sideline to sideline and see what happens. So, you know, with that being said, like we've kind of mentioned, if the weather isn't up to par, it heavily favors Atlantic because ADM really struggles to run the ball in any manner in there. So defensively, Atlantic secondary, you know, they've only been giving up about 72 yards a game passing. Before last week, Glenwood had a huge night of rushing, but before last week, our run game has only been getting up 160 yards. So, you know, very respectable, I think, with the group we've been playing. So, yeah, Atlantic get off the edge on the offense, and things will be good, so.
All right, another one there for the Trojans. And, yeah, even the ground game last week, the last two drives, you know, accounts for about 150, 60 of that yards that Glenwood ended up getting. So, yeah, I don't think people may not appreciate, I think, how well Atlantic played in that game last week. There was a lot of heart, a lot of effort. You know, you get down with that score right away at the beginning of the second half from Glenwood, and it could have been very easy for those guys to hang their heads. But they fought back and had an opportunity to go down the field, and they were, you know, within 15 yards of getting in the end zone to try to tie the game. So, you know, hats off to them for that effort against a good Glenwood team. And then what a good Glenwood team, you know, what you expect to do, took advantage finally and moved the ball down the field and got enough done to get the win. But Atlantic is showing great strides and improvement. The offense, I think, has gotten a lot better. They look like they're more confident out there. I think the kids are having fun with it. And they'll have no problem, I don't think, in this game against ADM. You guys already mentioned this is a perfect matchup. You know, whether or not, I think that the speed on the edge for Atlantic is a good advantage in this type of game with a team that likes to spread it out. So go with the Trojans, and we'll make it a clean sweep there in that final contest. It's going to wrap up our picks here in week number 7 here on Who's Going to Win. Stay with us. We'll have 8-man football on the way here for you as Mike Smith will join me as we'll bring you Xyra EHK hosting Fremont Mills there in 8-man District 7 play. For Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullenix, I'm Chris Parks, and thanks to Nishna Valley Credit Union, Ag Business Associates for another week of Who's Going to Win here on KJAN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.